This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Good morning, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. And we just finished day one yesterday. I hope you had a chance to listen to that. And also, yesterday's podcast was really kind of the prequel to kind of let everybody know what we're doing. And most of that took place in the airport or airplanes and different things. And so there really wasn't a lot necessarily or people I talked to then last evening. And a lot of it, of course, we talked about John Cornelius and his passing and some other things. So I hope that you got something out of that. But really, we're going to start to get today into the meat of it because we're having a full day of activities. And we'll talk about what is coming up here soon. But one of the things I really look forward to every year, of course, is the opportunity to visit with so many people who have become as close as brothers, you know, here at the podcast that have helped us in the past. And one of the guys is author, performer, and multi-winner of Magic Awards and well-known internationally and has helped me in the past here in the booth doing color with me in the baseball game here. Brockmeyer. No, here's Mark D'Souza. Hey, Mark.
That's right, Scotty. We're here to do color for you. Good morning. It is great to be here.
And today is the 24th. Is that right? Today is the 24th, I think. And so really, 25th. Today's the 25th. So this is going to be day number two. And but what we want to do is to do a recap. And so each day we'll get together for breakfast with Mark. It sounds like a play, Breakfast with Mark. So, and we're going to get a little update, kind of from his perspective, then also as we kind of discuss some of the shows, the performers, and what they did, and the lectures and everything from the day before. And so this may be fairly brief compared to the next couple of days. But let's get started. Yesterday we had the first thing starting with what?
First thing was the opening gala, one of the things that's really cool about 4Elf is they'll change up the schedule and do different things depending on who's going to be there this year. And, you know, sometimes they would start with a lecture. This year they decided to start with a show, and it was a great show.
Right, from the very get-go.
Absolutely, phenomenal. And Mayor Yedid emceed and had some great history and facts about Fectors and the people at Fectors and remembered. You know, a lot of the people that had passed, you know, in previous years.
I think it's important, you know, that we do remember the people who have gone on before us, certainly, because we're celebrating our 49th year, and we've had a lot of people exactly. who have come and gone, I mean, over those years, who have people who have passed. And so he was naming some names as, you know, as it said that you die twice, once in your physical body, and then second when the last time someone mentioned yes. your name. So it's important yeah. to keep bringing up names, and that's something that Mayor was doing last evening then as well, as talking about some people. And
right, and, you know, he showed a great photo from one of the early 4Fs. And yeah. and he showed it for two reasons. Number one, in the front row were two guests of honor who had passed recently, Johnny Thompson and Steve Dushek.
Yeah.
But then in the back row, there were three guys, three young whippersnappers. They were the kids, and he zoomed in on that picture, and it was Tim Conover, Mayor, and Daryl.
Yeah.
And he spoke. Rather touchingly about both Tim and Daryl's passings.
He was very close to those guys, and they exchanged a lot of ideas.
He was, exactly. Tim lived in New York for a number of years, and they got together very regularly. And my gosh, Mayor toured all over the world with Daryl. They did conventions for so many years together, and we're real close friends.
Yeah, but sad. And speaking of which, that last night that we had somebody pass for the first time.
A Fector first, unfortunately. One of the stalwarts of the backstage crew, Tom Black, he apparently had a heart attack. They called the paramedics and they couldn't save him. So he actually passed last night. So I'm sure something will be said this morning and tonight about his passing. Tom was here for many, many years. And in fact, last year, he did the TED Talk program with Catalina and Christian and on escapes. And Tom was an expert on escapes. It's really, really a shame his passing.
Yeah. That was amazing. I remember that quite well because he was talking about the things he would carry on him, you know, that would be like not just his cufflinks, but embedded in his shirt and his buttons and his shoes and everything.
Yeah, it was scary. He was a walking lockpick, you know, a walking locksmith shop.
Right, right.
Pretty amazing.
And a fairly young guy, as I recall. I'm going to say
50? I think Tom was probably in his 50s.
Yeah,
early to mid-50s, probably.
Yep, that's a sad thing, certainly. And we move on, and yep. that there are some people then in the show then last night that
sure.
the mayor started
and
off.
There were people from all over the world. The opening act was a fellow named Daniel Mormina from Argentina, who was this year's Flasoma close-up winner. Flasoma is a big South American convention. They have a big competition, and normally the winners from Flasoma go on to compete at FISM, so I would expect we'll see him at the upcoming FISM in 2021 in Quebec.
That's going to be fun. Have you already made your reservations? The hotel and everything as well?
No. I don't think they've opened up hotel reservations.
I thought Joan Reese Caesar sent out an email and saying, you know, that we should be looking at some B&Bs and things around. Perhaps.
Oh, no. That was for the CAM convention, which is coming up for 2020,
okay.
also in Quebec City.
Yeah.
But that will be the North American Championships.
The qualifications.
Exactly. It's the qualifiers for FISM in 2021. So the email she sent was really about reserving your hotels, because I don't think they've reserved a tremendous block of hotels the way that FISM does.
Gotcha.
That's
okay.
A whole different thing.
I'm sorry. So.
No. So.
You did a little bicycle thing. It was really cute.
It was. When you walked out, he had a table full of stuff. A really nice, you know, different looking close-up hat with a little genie lamp on it. A little lamppost. I thought he was going to do a small version of Lance Burton's act.
Yeah.
A little treasure chest beside him. Very intriguing. It was a very classical type of European-style act to music, speaking. And the theme was a bicycle. There was a voiceover where he had a bicycle when he was a kid. It was in disrepair, and he wanted to be able to save up money to buy the piece of bicycle that he needed to repair it. And
it wasn't a full-size bicycle, by the
way.
No,
it was a miniature. A miniature bicycle that sat on top of the close-up.
About 7 inches big.
Yeah. And in the course of the act, he did, the genie lamp he covered with a tissue, really, and it grew to like 5 times the size. Very startling.
He has magnifying glasses that he uses.
He used that later. He set that up when he was doing the thing with the genie lamp. But then later in the act, he did it with bicycle wheels, and the bicycle wheels actually grew. Very, very clever. But in the course of it, he had some card stuff. He had coin stuff, and that was the production of the coins to buy the stuff. But it's very visual magic. At the end, he produces the piece of the bicycle. He puts the bicycle together, and then the bicycle moves by itself across the pad. Then he produces a little doll of himself, a little twisty Beneflex kind of thing.
Like a Ken doll or something.
Exactly, and puts it on the bicycle, and the bicycle rides along. Yeah. So, nice opening. Really clever stuff. The second act was Bernardo Sedlacek. Sedlacek. Because if he were Czech, he'd pronounce it Sedlacek, but he's Brazilian. And thanks to you, I had an inkling as to who he was, because I finished listening to your podcast with Bernardo yesterday morning before I came up here.
Very interesting dude.
What an amazing young man.
Deep thinker. You're only 21 years old.
Oh, my God. Absolutely amazing. And I got to spend about half an hour with him earlier in the day, and he blew everybody away. Absolutely. His card work is superb. His thinking is even better.
Right.
And he
that
did
says it all right there. You're right.
Yeah, he did two effects that were, you know, one was a named card is reversed in the deck. No equivoke, no magician's choice.
Right.
It's a real named card is reversed in the deck, and it's phenomenal. And then the second thing he did was a two deck, any card in any number, one with a borrowed deck, and phenomenal. The conditions were incredible, and the card was at the same number in both decks.
Yeah,
pretty cool. He certainly earned a place in our hearts last night.
Yes, he did.
He was followed by another Argentinian, Nico Pieri. Nico, this is his third time, and Nico's terrific card man. Does a lot of great stuff. Pharaoh shuffles. He didn't last night. He did a very simple, direct looking effect about decisions, making decisions. Card trick, very good, very good. He was followed by Alfonso Retuerto. Alfonso's from Spain, but now lives in Germany. And he had, again, it seemed more of a classic European-style act. It was not to music, it was a talk act, but it was he brought Alexandre Duvivier up as his assistant for the audience, and he had an espresso pot. And he shows it empty, he puts it together, he says, maybe if things go well, you and I will have a cup of coffee later. And he goes on to do he had a bowl of sugar, and from the sugar, he produces four coins, incredibly visual thing, really beautiful. And then he did a routine with the four coins and the coffee cup that was just astounding. It was, you know, the technique was wonderful. Very, very clever thinking. He had her sign a coin. The coin vanished and actually appears under the pile of sugar that's laying on the close-up
mat.
That
was pretty impressive.
That was pretty darn impressive, yeah. And at the end, there's coffee in the pot that he pours her a cup of coffee. It was a lovely, lovely act, and I really
all tied together
that.
Well.
Yeah. He was followed by the only American on the show, Brian Saint. Brian was on Penn & Teller, and the routine that he did, he repeated last night, and I thought it was a phenomenal routine. It's imagine that a kind of a sans tabbery kind of rope routine is done with a pair of phone charger, and it's all wrapped in the story that he's a voiceover artist. So that's what he really does. He is a voiceover artist, but he does this whole thing that it's going to be an infomercial, and he does it, you know, in his infomercial voice. And, you know, are you tired of never having a long enough charge cord? Well, here's the universal cord. And so he shows a normal-sized charger cord, maybe 3 foot in length, and he removes the ends, puts the rest of the thing away, and then cuts off a long piece, probably an 8 foot piece of cable, and restores.
He had a spool of cable. They kind of
exactly, and he restores it. So now you've got an 8 foot. Long. So a very short, but the story was great. And it makes sense, finally. This whole thing makes sense. And I can imagine guys are going to, they're going
to
want to do this.
They should go back to Penn & Teller and see that episode because
absolutely.
It was amazing.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's a great trick. And didn't fool Penn & Teller. They knew exactly what it was doing. But it's a very clever concept. And I said to him afterwards at the party, I said, man, you know, when I saw that, the first thing I thought was, phew, this is going to be one of the most copy tricks this year. He says, funny you say that. We're putting it out.
Said, they should beforehand.
There you go. Yeah. Make your money now before somebody steers and steals it.
We just had that conversation at breakfast.
Yeah, we did. We did. He was followed by George Iglesias from Peru, who had a
Twister
sharp
Magic
jacket.
Yeah.
Oh,
cool
my
jacket.
God, what a great-looking jacket he had. But, yeah, Twister Magic. And George's a real commercial worker. He's a real worker. And he did a prediction thing with five paper balls thrown in the audience, and it was like a supermarket kind of thing. And he was supposed to be predicting the name of a grocery item. Yeah, only it was a big jar full of marshmallows, and it wasn't the item name. And he has people guess how many marshmallows are in the jar. The guy that guesses it right, he says, "Go ahead and count them." No. Open up the piece of paper you have, and he opens it up, and it has the exact number that he named.
Right.
And then the capper on the thing was he opens the jar and starts throwing marshmallows to the audience, and then reaches in the jar and brings out a can of onion-flavored Pringles, which was the grocery item named by the previous person.
Right.
So, very commercial kind of routine. Very nice. He was followed by Johnson Huang from Taiwan, who had a funny concept. He said, do you get nervous when you perform? Do your hands shake? And, no, I'm not talking about if you have Parkinson's. I'm saying, if you get nervous, your hands shake. And so he had this electroshock device that he put on, and it makes him shake all the time.
Yeah, put him on his wrist. Yeah.
Exactly, and he's trying to do a card trick with hands shaking all the time, taking out a pen and having the card signed, and, you know, he can't uncap the pen, then he can't cap the pen. And it was a funny concept.
Well, the premise was, again, that if you have a problem in your hand shake, that you practice with your shaking your hands. Because, in other words, a lot of times people will, whenever they're performing, get a little bit nervous, and so their hands might shake. And so, therefore, you might as well practice, you know, with your hand.
Exactly.
That was the premise of having
exactly.
it.
Exactly,
so
yeah.
It was very funny.
And the payoff of the thing was a card stab, which is pretty funny with your hand shaking.
But blindfolded, too. Yeah.
Blindfolded, yeah. It was a cute routine. Nothing earth-shattering, but very entertaining.
Yeah.
Ireland's Quentin Reynolds followed him, the world's largest leprechaun, now that Pat Page is gone.
We got Pat Fallon over there, though.
We do have Pat Fallon, and Pat is a little shorter than Quentin. And does look a little more leprechaunish with that long ponytail.
Looks more like an elf, you know, from The Lord of the Rings.
He does, yeah. What a nice guy.
I wish he'd come over. I wish he would, too.
Yeah, he's a really good worker. Anyway. Quentin is probably Ireland's best magic export since Billy McComb. Holy cow. everything he does. I mean, it's not like it's, you know, new magic, but everything he does is so well thought out. His presentation is great. He's got great lines for everything. And he did what's essentially known as Ninja Rings now, but he calls them the Kerrygold Rings. And his handling was absolutely beautiful. Very, you know, very clean look. I can imagine any layman seeing this would just, you know, have no clue as to how this thing works. He followed that up with Card Warp. And he had some different kind of sequences in the card work, particularly when he did a torn and restored sequence of one of the cards. And I think that kind of caught everybody by surprise. Mm-hmm. Not something you typically see out there. And that led into a new thing, and I don't know the name of the thing, but I know he's put it out through Card Warp, where it's a Terry Rogers effect, trapdoor card. It's Bob Neal has had work on this. Terry Rogers, the one that I knew it from. And basically, it's a card that turns inside out with a little trap door where you're holding it. Only the payoff is, and this thing looks so clean, when you finish turning it inside out, the trap door is actually reversed, and it's printed that way. So Card Shark is selling these now, and it's I'm going to stock up.
I think I'm going to get that, too. And I think one of the amazing things that really helps sell that as well is at the end, whenever he opens, as he's talking about it, he will take out, like, this little adhesive thing that he puts in this pocket, basically, as a take-home thing. So we sealed it back up. You can't get into it to kind of fiddle with it. You know?
Exactly. It's like when, you know, the guys that used to do HyperCard.
Yeah.
You know, if you glue it to another card, then they can never play with it and actually figure out how it works.
Right.
And it's a great giveaway, and it's the kind of thing that people will keep and keep and keep.
As a little quick pro tip that I have used for a long time, our baseball card sleeves, you know, those little plastic sleeves, I carry those with me. So whenever you have a card signed, how many times have you been to a restaurant, you know, when you do something and then when you're leaving later, they're gone, the table, it's got
you
that just,
exactly.
But if you make it special, and so by putting it into that little thing, and then I put my business card in it with it, you know, then there's something for them to keep.
And that's a great pro tip for the day from Scott Wells. You know, that is a great idea. I'm going to have to steal my kids' Magic the Gathering card sleeves.
Next one.
FISM champion Horet Wu from Taiwan.
My favorite for the evening.
Was tremendous. And he had done that routine here once before.
Yeah.
And he comes out in a lab coat.
He did that at FISM, I think, in Italy. Did he? Or would I see it here? Was it here?
I think it was here. Okay. Yeah, the FISM act was different. Unless he did that for a second FISM act. I was not in Italy, so I don't know. But basically, it's a lamp that he has on the table that will project different colored lights. And he has a blank deck. They're just blank on both sides.
Yeah.
And
white.
As he holds them, white with a black, thin black border. Very nice.
Yeah.
Very classy looking. And as he holds them under the light, these cards change colors for real. And so he does, I think, four or five different colors. And then some of these changes are visual. I mean, you're looking at a white card, he drops it on the table, and
boom, it's
now
red. Or whatever.
Yeah.
Because the light
incredible.
Changes red. Yeah.
Exactly. Incredible looking. And then at the end, the payoff, they all turn.
He had a standing ovation.
Yeah, it was really good, really good. And speaking of the standing ovations, the closing act, Henry Evans from Argentina, Mr. Personality. This guy could do the ball and vase, and you'd go crazy. He is just so entertaining. He just has just such a great persona. He had four guys come up with their own decks of cards, shuffle decks of cards, and he just did a series of just incredible things where he's... With their decks, I mean, he's cutting off cards, and they're naming numbers, and he cuts off that number of cards.
Right.
He's doing productions of select cards or card at any number with their decks. The payoff to the whole thing is, and he builds this up so beautifully, where the cards, they cut the cards, and he puts the cards in front of the piles, and he ends up with the four aces. And it's just impossible. An instant standing ovation and really well-deserved. So that was one heck of an opening show. I got to tell you, they really set the bar high for the rest of the week.
And that was, about an hour and a half show, I think, 2 hours?
It was close to 2 hours. Yeah. In fact, it was 2 hours because it started at 8 and it ended at 10, which meant that David Riegel's lecture was delayed a little bit, which David Riegel begged for the extra time back at the end so he could at least finish up. So I'll go on and just say at 10 o'clock. 10:15 or so, David Riegel did his lecture, and David hadn't been here for a number of years. Did some great commercial magic. The first part of the lecture was everything out of his most recent book, and stuff that he's marketed, but you can learn it out of the book, and he showed you how to make everything. You'd have to buy a thing. And then he had a couple of other things that were not
from his new book.
Yeah, he's working on a new book. He said this is probably the last time you'll see this material, because once the new book's out, then I'll be lecturing on that material.
Yeah.
Great commercial magic, and he was rushing toward the end. I wish we'd had extra time to see the new stuff.
I agree, because he kept saying, well, I would have shown you this, or I got this, and these two things, and
yeah.
Got to go.
Yeah. You know, you get an hour. I hope he likes to keep everything on time, keeps it moving.
Yeah.
You know, because we had the hospitality suite with pizza. So pizza
right.
and donuts, you know.
Yeah, Dave was competing against food
you
and
cannot,
drink.
Yeah, you can't beat pizza and donuts as opposed to a great magic collection.
So what's coming up for today?
So today the opening event is a French magician named Olmach, who's another FISM winner. It's card work, but a lot of very visual kind of stuff. I'm looking forward. I've never seen Olmach lecture. I've seen one of his videos. I think he's got like four videos out. I've only seen one of them. And it's like very clever visual stuff. He's a very good-looking young man who does some real fine magic. The 1:30 show is the Friends Old and New. I know one of the performers will be not here for that show. He'll be put on another show because there was some health issues in his family with his parents who are over 100 years old.
Okay.
You got to expect that when they're over 100 years old. But we got some great guys coming up. Looking forward to that. Some people we've seen before, one of whom, Stephen Himmler, is responsible for the funniest line last year. His name is Stephen Himmel, and he said,
"That's right."
He said, "I'm certainly glad my parents decided to drop the R."
Yeah.
And I was sitting next to Marcus Taylor from England, and the both of us were laughing for another 90 seconds straight. We could not hear anything. We're just, and still, we're joking about it. Still,
yeah.
And I haven't seen Stephen to say hi and thank you for. But whenever I write him on Facebook, dear Mr. Himmler. So that's coming up at 1:30. At 3:30, we got another show hosted by Joe Turner. Tonight is the 8 o'clock lecture. Is Mike Powers, who's the guest of honor, and Mike always has some great material, great card material, and followed by 10 o'clock. Howard Hamburg, and Howard has just become, you know, one of those people that you just love to hang out with and want to hear tell stories. You don't care if he does any magic. Yeah. He's got the greatest stories because he was a student of the professors, and he was friends with so many of the people from the previous generation that hung at the castle. And Obi said last night, tonight in Howard's lecture, he's not going to be telling stories. He's going to be teaching tricks, and everyone, boo. So, and
a good full
in between,
day.
Yeah, very full day. And in between, we get to hang out in session and just, you know, meet up with our old friends that we see once a year. And
got the dealers and everything in there. And then, we have tonight the 4S, the Secret Scotch Sipper Society, is going to be about 11 o'clock, I think. We go in and have some scotch.
Yeah, I think you're right. You're right.
That'll and the Italian party.
Well, that'll be that. I just talked to Alain Iannone, who arrived last night after midnight. Mm-hmm. And he says, we're not opening the suite tonight because of the 4S. But Friday and Saturday, he said he came alone this year, so he didn't get to bring as much.
Now, limoncello?
Well, he's got some limoncello. He's got a few bottles, but not what he usually brings, because most of the Italian brigade has to bring bottles in their luggage so they don't all get nabbed. But he managed to get four in and some cheese, and I told him, it's okay, I brought reserves. I've got some stuff that I brought up. So.
Yeah. Well, of course, you live in Philly, and my favorite cheese place is there in Philly.
De Bruno.
Yeah. I send that to people for Christmas. That's my favorite. And the just walking in there and looking at the swinging cheese, and it's just a cool neighborhood, and I love it.
So about 15 minutes from my house, there's a farmer's market, big indoor farmer's market that runs 7 days a week. And De Bruno has probably about a third of the market, and they have all these different counters with different stuff, and they have the full cheese department. So I stopped there yesterday morning at 8 o'clock in the morning, or sorry, at 9 o'clock in the morning before we left to pick up fresh cheese. So I brought up four cheeses from De Bruno.
That's going to be good. Well, about the 4S thing, by the way, Neil Sturton was going to be helping to have this like as his bachelor party.
Well, yeah, it's the post wedding bachelor party apparently.
Yeah,
because he said the actual wedding was last week.
Yeah.
But he's using this as his bachelor party, so there will be people showing up that don't normally show up for the scotch drink and just to have a We dram with Neil.
Because Neil is from Scotland also, by the way. So, yeah, he said this is...
Well, I saw an empty bottle of a very fine scotch on the table last night at the pizza party. So they're getting started early.
Well, there you have it, folks. There's kind of as a recap, and that tomorrow morning we'll get together again to kind of give you an update on what we saw today. Maybe not quite as thorough, but no. Since we have three shows today.
Yes. Yeah, that'll take a bit of time.
But you get more than just a little flavor when you get to talk with Mark about anything, because he is knowledgeable about whatever. What about boat engines? You know, do you know?
I know they make boats go.
Okay, just about everything, you know.
I don't do engines. I don't do mechanical. Only mechanical stuff. As if it's for a magic prop.
It's a magic prop.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, have you been to Copperfields Museum?
I have not. I heard your broadcast, and I had a long conversation at dinner with my evil twin, Eric DeCamps, who got to go about a month ago. I've gotten the invitation, and David had called me up before putting the Tannen thing together, and we had a long conversation, and I ended up giving him a video tour of my collection, which was kind of funny.
That's funny.
And you know what, people say, you know, David gets this stuff and he puts it away, no one gets to see it. You know, totally not at all. David, really, what he has, he knows well, and he was asking me,
he brought it alive.
And when I would show him stuff out of my collection, he would ask some really pertinent questions, and you know, he really amazing guy. Amazing
well, yesterday guy. When we were at the airport, at Baltimore Airport, and kind of waiting for the next one, that Michael Tallon and Paul Youngblood and Doug Gorman were sitting there, and John Dallinger, and so I said, well, tell us a story, you know, what it was like. And so afterwards, said, you need to put that on the podcast. So I am going to, because I would think that there should be, you know, something out there so people know, you know, the extent of what, because it was the most amazing, amazing thing.
Well, the thing about it is, and people say, oh, how can I get to go? Well, you know what?
You can't.
You can. It's.
I'll tell that story too. How I got in.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's something you have to be invited for a particular reason. Yeah. You know, I can't imagine what it costs him to do the tour every time he does it, because this is like a 3-hour tour.
Yep.
He's got like 8 or 9 people
following around
that have to help him with all the technical requirements for doing this tour,
he's
and it's a show.
It is a show.
It's a show.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm really looking forward. I'm hoping to see it when I go out in January for SAM.
Cool. I'll be out there then, too. I haven't made my reservations yet. What hotel is the SAM convention going to be in January?
Gold Nugget.
Okay.
Golden Nugget.
Downtown.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
I have to make my hotel reservation soon. All righty. Well, listen, I think we've gone on. We need to leave some room for some other people here the rest of the day.
Great.
Mark,
good.
As always, thanks very much.
Thank you, Scott. Have a great day.
And he also was a friend of the Magic Word, which I want to thank Terry Greenwood, by the way, for his donation. And he was a friend of the Magic Word and still continues to be. That he just gave an annual donation. Just want to thank him here today. And also, again, Mark is a friend. So if you are thinking about, if you like this podcast and you want to help support it, please go to patreon.com/themagicword, or you can just go to the tab there at the Magic Word Podcast, and you can figure out how to become a friend of the Magic Word, and you get some pretty cool perks along the way then too. So thank you very much again, Mark.
Thank you, Scott.
Until next time, that's Mark D'Souza. This is Scotty out. All right, well, we are now over in the dealer's room getting ready soon here within the hour for the first show of the day. But the dealer's room is where everybody's kind of congregating. We got about a dozen dealers that are in here. And one of the people who have been coming for a long number of years is Gene Gordon from Denver. Hello, Gene.
Hey, Scott. Nice to see you again. Pleasure to be here. This is my 19th year.
19, okay.
Yeah. So
consecutive?
Yep. I haven't missed one. So that's a record, I guess.
And why is that? Why do you come every year to this one?
I set it aside on my calendar despite everything else because it is what it is. It's vectors. It's different than any other kind of convention, I believe, because I get to see people from all over the world, friends that I know from all over the world, and get to talk magic, which is different than some conventions where I don't get to get into the nitty-gritty of the magic and get down into the stuff.
Because this is not only the nitty-gritty and the slights and everything, but also presentations, because a lot of times they'll sit around and be telling jokes, which are things you might put into your routine later.
Absolutely. You know? We had a philosophical discussion last night about performance and that sort of thing. And then we did silly magician tricks to each other, too, stuff that only is good for each other.
Yeah.
And all that's worthwhile.
Yeah. And so what are you looking forward to this year? Or does it matter? You come regardless.
I do come regardless, and I always look forward to the shows because Obi and his team do a great job bringing in people from all over I wouldn't see normally unless I traveled internationally.
That's true.
To come to a little Batavia, the magic capital of the world, for, it's like stealing a line from Colon, Michigan. But yep, we're the magic capital right now.
It's really fun too because of the quality. Just as you say, Gene, as far as some of the best. I mean, I was sitting next to David Prouty last evening, and as we were just kind of sitting and overlooking, he said, "I just can't believe I'm still part of this." You know, kind of looking around. You know, I've got your books, I've got your DVDs, I've seen you on Penn and Teller. You know, you've got your own TV show over in England or in Spain, or you know.
It is definitely a who's who internationally, let alone America. You know, you get people who are professionals, been on TV, and you're rubbing elbows and saying hi and trading tricks. So that's what it,
and all speaking the language of magic.
Yeah, a language barrier besides, it's all you can talk magic.
That is what's fun, I think, also, as you kind of walk down the hallways or here in the dealer's room, there are people speaking French and German and Japanese and Korean and everything. You know?
Yep, absolutely. And you know, it all, every one of us speak magic and can have a great conversation for hours, apparently.
Apparently, yes. Yeah. All right. Thank you very much for the Magic Word Podcast. That was Gene Gordon. Scotty out. Well, as I said, we're in the dealer's room over here then, and one of the dealers that has always had the perennial best space just as you walk in over here is Wizardcraft. It's Craig Dixon. Hey there, Craig.
Well, good morning. Good morning. It's always great to see you.
Always good to see you as well. So, how many conventions you go to now? I mean, you kind of cut back a little bit. So.
One a year.
This one?
This is it.
Now, do you go to Monty the next day?
Yeah, I'll be at Monty. Yeah. So, it's back to back. And it's just to see family and friends.
How many years have you been coming to this?
25.
Consecutive years?
Yeah, I missed one. Yeah. I missed one. So, over a span of 26, 25 years from when it was at the Abbott Square Brewery. Yeah. To here. Yeah, that was my, that's where I popped my cherry at the Abbott Square Brewery.
Why is it you keep coming back every year?
This is family. This is family. And you see all the new talent and some of the stuff you just want to go up and break their fingers. You know, we work so hard and the up and coming magicians, as you've seen some of that talent that we've seen here first on America's Got Talent, guys like Shin Lim and everything. It's just incredible to always see the innovation and the guys that are thinking outside the box.
Well, like you said about Shin Lim, I thought it was kind of cool that he was wearing his 4F pin on his lapel, you know, during the whole competition.
Well, he knew Obi was going to fine him $5 if he didn't.
Now he's got $1 million, so it'll be all right.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they get that in pieces,
I know.
Yeah, it's a payoff, but we were so proud of him. Actually, you know, I'm an elected union official now, and we have a lot of guys in rehab at a facility, and the emeritus director of the facility, when Shin Lim won the first time, and when he won the Olympics, the gold, you know, the gold.
Yeah.
She texted me right away. Your boy won. Your boy won. She was, because they all watch it up there.
Yeah.
It's what made them sane, and they loved him and love magic. They've all become big magic aficionados.
I was just talking with someone here recently about how that magic has traditionally been thought of as stage illusions and things, maybe stand up. I mean, you've seen Penn and Teller, and of course, Masters of Illusion. But prior to that, other magicians who are touring usually have large stage shows. Shin is the first one, I think, that's bringing close-up magic to the general public. There are a lot of other magicians who do close-up that you may have seen, but he's the one who's actually got the only one I can think of has got a name doing close-up.
Yeah, he's become, you know, everyone knows his name now. I mean, you would throw out, you know, people that we revere and love, and no one, thank you, and no one knows their names. Everybody knows Shin Lim, you know, so it's really brought close-up to the forefront.
Yeah, it really has. And as you say, that we see all these young guys here, that they got everything I wish I had, you know, that youth, skill, hair, you know.
Yeah, and talent.
And talent.
And talent.
Yeah, it goes on, yeah.
Yeah.
Great presentation. And we see some of the best here from all over the world. I think that's really kind of cool.
Yeah, I think it was 21 countries this year, you know, so it's just great. You know, and like I said, and to see people that I consider family, you know, brothers like you, it's just, because I don't do a lot anymore. It's the one time a year I get to go out and have dinner with Quentin Reynolds, Howard Homburg, and Andy Greggett. You know, and I wouldn't miss it for
all in the same place. I mean, you don't get that opportunity.
No, no, not really. Yeah. And most conventions are too large, so you don't have the time to really spend that intimate, you know, important time with them.
Yeah.
Here you get to do that, you know.
Very good point. Very good point. Yeah. And, you really get some intimate time. I mean, if you want to ask a question of somebody, I mean, you're not just rubbing shoulders. You're sitting next to them at the show, you know, and you never know who's going to be here, you know. From previous years, you know, Juan Tamariz and others who have been guests of honor. It's been wonderful.
No, it's just it's endless. It's a who's who, yeah. But no one comes in with this stardom. You know,
that's a good point.
Yeah, I mean they come. When Ace Greenberg came every year, I kept telling him to adopt me. But he's in his jeans on the floor on the rug with everybody else, and we're all equals.
Yeah. It doesn't matter as far as money, not, talent,
does
whatever.
Does not matter who you are, what your name is. They're here to share, here to learn, and here to teach each other, and it's great and brainstorm.
That's right, and learn some new ideas. Yeah. What we're getting,
and develop some that you've had that were half baked. You know,
that's right. You may have something, and then this is where you really refine it. You know, that was one of the things I was just talking about, John Cornelius. You know, that I miss him so badly. But one of the things that he would always say is like, "Well, here's another idea. You might try this idea." You know, he always had a different thought. You know?
John was like that. There were a whole bunch of people like that here. And we knew we could share with each other because you weren't going to steal your idea. If anything, you were going to give him more ideas. John was great. We shared the same background in engineering. And we were every time we were together, we were talking about different concepts and where to go with it. Yeah. You know, before a few of his items came out, we had talked at length about them, you know, which was fun, which was a lot of fun. Because you didn't say, oh, he's going to steal my idea. We don't think that way. And that's the whole premise of this gathering, too. We don't think that way, you know. So
it really is a respect here. You know, whenever you go to other conventions and you see, you know, a fellow brother from Fector's, you know, who's there, it's kind of like, you know, there's a glint in your eye because there's something that you guys share that the rest of the people who haven't attended really don't. You know, it's a brotherhood. I have to agree.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I said, I'll keep coming until I can't walk no more.
That's kind of the same with me. I'm coming. I think this is my 35th. I've missed three times due to unforeseen circumstances, and so anyhow, going to continue to go. Next year's 50th. I'm looking forward to that.
No, the 5th.
Mark Mason.
The 5th. No, I know. It was funny. I met Mark at the Columbus Magi Fest, and we shared a room. I used to put three dealers in a room, and we shared a room, and we really pummeled. We antagonized the other guy.
Yeah.
Okay, the Beads of Pressure, Fedco. You know, and he didn't get our sense of humor. When we told him we weren't opening today, we were going out and having dinner. What do you mean you're not opening? And we just punished him. But no one really knew Mark in this country. I brought him to the SAM in Boston and told John Mohring. I said, this is a guy who can lecture, he's a dealer, and he can perform in the close-up. I said, that's a three-for-one. That's your dream. And he's an advertiser. I said, that's your dream. And I remember PJ Campagna helped him during the lecture, and she couldn't believe how they were throwing money at him. Yeah. He did 20-something thousand at the lecture.
Wow.
And she was just in awe. I said, but that's who he is, and he's got such great stuff. He's one of the best pitchmen that ever lived, and he delivers.
Yeah.
You know, he's a super talented guy. Yeah. And I said, Boston needed to see him.
And that was the beginning of him kind of coming to the U.S.
Then he started doing all the major conventions here. Yeah, it was just before that. You know, Jimmy King brought him over for Magi Fest because he was a supplier. And they took care of the suppliers. But the rest of the world needed to see him. And he's, you know, and the other discussion I had with him is Mark, you're not going to make it selling $15 and $20 tricks. You know, you're going to work too hard because they're going to buy it and then bring back 12 of their friends to see it again.
Right.
You know, you're just the show. You know, you're here to make money. You gotta expand.
And he did.
He knows marketing, but he listened, you know, so it was good.
Well, Craig, thanks very much. Always good talking to you.
Always a pleasure.
Best of you and Joanne.
Thanks. So much. And she sends hugs.
That's great.
Okay.
Back right back.
All right.
So with the Magic Word Podcast. That's Craig Dixon. Scotty out. All right, now we're standing outside of the dealer's room where it's not quite as noisy. We'll just stand over here just a moment in case people are going to be coming in and out. And I'm here with one of the people who was a standout hit last night, Quentin Reynolds. Hey, Quentin.
Hello, Scott. Thank you.
Awful good to see you. Glad you came over then again. And so how many years have you been coming to this? This your third?
This is my second one.
Second, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Second one. I had hoped to come last year, but it clashed with the Irish Convention in Dublin, and I was already committed to going to that.
Mm-hmm. So, and about how many people attend that? I mean, they come over from England over to Ireland as well?
Quite a few, yes. We had, who did we have last year? We had Jeff McBride and Larry Haas.
Okay.
They were the headliners. The time before that, we had Juan Tamariz, and before that, David Williamson. Mm-hmm. So we usually get about 100 delegates.
That's quite a few, because I know that you got what, three clubs, I think, in all of Ireland, basically.
Three, yes, there are. There is the Ulster Society of Magicians based in Belfast in Northern Ireland, and of course that's where the big Titanic exhibition is. In Dublin, we have the Guinness Brewery. A lot of people go to that when they come to visit. And
Waxgate.
Yeah, indeed. And then there's another one down in Cork. There used to be one in Limerick, but it's kind of died down and. At the moment, there's still quite a few get together, but they don't have official meetings. Mm-hmm. So the other magic club would be in Cork.
I was talking with Pat Fallon some years ago, and I was doing a lecture tour around southern England, you know, basically. And I don't know, I did about a dozen or so cities, and there's still a lot I didn't go to. And I asked Pat, and he said, well, only three, you know, over here. And, you know, we'll take a lot of driving around, you know, to get up and down to all the places. But so I didn't make it over there yet. It's on my bucket list. I'll get around to it eventually.
Yes. Well, if they're coming over, generally, they're great audiences. They generally get a good turnout, and they have money to spend.
Mm-hmm. That's good, because they probably don't get a lot of magicians over there.
We don't get that many coming over, and not that many go to magic conventions abroad.
And so all that they can purchase is probably online, since there are no brick-and-mortar magic shops.
Yeah, so when you see stuff demonstrated in front of you, you know, and most lecturers, the wise lecturers will do a deal, you know, and say, well, all this, it comes to $300, but today it's only $100 or something. And everybody says, wow, but even if I do it, this is too good a deal to miss, you know.
Exactly. You know, you were compared with Billy McComb, and did you know him well?
I knew Billy. Yeah, Billy stayed with me. I really only got to know Billy in his later career, and when he had developed into the character of a doddery old man, and he was far from doddery.
Right. But he had that persona on stage, basically.
He had the wit to change his performing character as he got older. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, his opening line when he dodders onto the, stumbles almost onto the stage and looks at the audience and, I won't keep you long, it's rice pudding nice a night at the home. And everybody immediately knows
exactly.
He knows who he is, we're not taking him seriously, this is going to be a laugh. And Billy was, the way I would compare myself to Billy is that we were both general practitioners. Mm-hmm. Billy used to do kid shows. He still did, though he didn't publicize it. If he got booked to do one, he had a stand up. He could do close up. He invented a whole load of illusions. Mm-hmm. He was a general practitioner. He could put his hand to anything. And I do some mentalism. I do some comedy magic. I do close up, kid shows, Punch and Judy, ventriloquism.
Punch and Judy shows. Is that still popular, you know, I mean, over
Yes, it is. Well, probably not so much in the States, but yes, England and in Ireland. Well, the reason over here is because hardly anybody does it. Jay Marshall used to do
Punch and Judy. He was the last
I
knew who did it, yeah.
Yeah, and Jay did a very good Punch and Judy show. Mm-hmm. In fact, once when I was in Chicago, he said there was a magic club meeting that night, would I do Punch and Judy? And I said, well, I've nothing with me. He said, well, I get out my puppets, and he made me a swazzle.
Yeah.
And it was the best swazzle I ever had.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I used it
he
for
made
years
one
after
for you?
He made it there and then from
That's
coins.
Cool. Yeah, okay. That's interesting. For people who don't know what a swazzle is, it's that way you make the noise. Explain what that is.
Yes, it's like the, you know, the little whistles you get, like the ventrilos or the little squeakers you put in your mouth. Well, it's similar to those.
Yeah.
There's not much point in describing it in detail, but it makes a shrilly voice like, that's the way to do it.
Yeah, so that way, that you can talk in normal voice, but when you're speaking through that, it kind of gives that trill.
It gives you a trilly voice, which is Mr. Punch's voice.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Yeah, the reason it's not popular over here is just, you know, abuse. It seems abusive, and it's very, it's not always not common. It just wouldn't be accepted, you know, here.
Well, actually, funny enough, it's a slapstick show.
It is.
People think it's a violent show. No, it's a slapstick show, and people get hit around, but just like the Three Stooges or whatever, and... really, Punch and Judy never encouraged anybody to beat up anybody, no more than Goldilocks encourages squatting.
Squatting, that's a good point. People hadn't thought about it that way. That's right. What was she doing in their house, the Three Bears house? That's true. So what is it that you're working on? I mean, are you doing a lot of traveling? You got some, what are your plans?
At the moment, funny enough, I'm working on a couple of routines that I... see, it takes me ages to work out a routine.
Good for you.
For example...
You script them all out, write them all out?
Yeah, well, yesterday, though, people won't have seen me, I did a version of the Ninja Rings. Mm-hmm. But it took me 3 years to get that to the way I wanted it. I wanted to have jokes in it.
Brilliant.
But they had to fit with the routine, not just jokes for the sake of jokes. Which was one of the funniest things I ever thought about Bob Reed, who was a brilliant close-up magician. But his pattern never matched the tricks.
No.
He had a whole load of one-liners that had absolutely nothing to do with the trick. And he was still hilarious, you know, but he was Bob Reed, so he could get away with it.
He would do comedy for 20 minutes that were unrelated jokes, and then suddenly produce a bottle.
Yeah. So what am I working on?
You traveling? You're going to be staying maybe in Ireland? You're doing cruises?
I moved to England 15 years ago from Ireland.
So
I'm living in Manchester, which is kind of bang in the middle of England. I'm lucky. I live in the middle of the city. So everything I need is within walking distance. So usually the only time I have to drive anywhere is if I have to go and collect something heavy or I'm doing a gig. So that's usually the only time.
So you're following Manchester United?
I do some gigs there. Matt Windsor is the agent who is. He's the main Manchester United magician, but they often have other ones in doing the boxes and whatever. And
I just didn't know if you switch your allegiance from Ireland over to...
Oh, no, they ask me, you know, who do I support? And I tell them, I support anybody who books me.
I love that. You know, when I work on trade shows, and, you know, you were supposed to be performing as if that, well, you know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And so people will ask me more questions, and I'll say, well, you need to talk to this guy. Well, don't you work for this company? Well, I do today, you know, but that's not my full-time job. But, you know, I'm doing enough to point to this guy.
Yes,
you know?
That's it, yeah. So that's why when I've done trade shows, though I've never done a huge amount, I ask them all the three main points they want me to get across and what are the most common questions people will ask, so at least I can sound intelligent if they ask me a question. And then say, well, you know, yes, I can tell you that, but if you come over here, this is the guy, he's the real expert on that.
Yeah.
So that's how I
try to memorize their splash page. I go to the website and all the stuff that's over there, because that's important enough for them to put that on their main page, which they have links to go to things deeper.
Things,
and I feel like I'm their splash page. I'm the first thing that the traffic sees when they pass by the booth, you know, basically.
Yeah.
But anyhow, well, good. I'm glad you're here. And so are you planning on coming back? I mean, now this is your second year. You kind of got the bug.
Oh, yeah. No, I plan to be back next year.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. It's you're right. They all say it's like family, and it is.
It really
you know,
is.
I met some friends yesterday who I met the last time, and it's almost like we're cousins and we haven't seen each other since the last family reunion.
Yep, that's a good way of putting it.
Yourself included.
Yeah, well, thank you very much, Quentin. So for the Magic Word Podcast, one of my listeners over from the UK, actually, I say the UK, over from Ireland, so or from, I guess you are, of course, you said you're in Manchester.
The UK,
so,
but from Ireland,
so, yeah. I can get tongue-tied there very easily. That was Quentin Reynolds.
Let me say, any magicians visiting Ireland, you'll always find somebody to hang out with. Maybe if you do lectures, you'll get booked in to do a lecture. And the next Irish convention will be in Dublin next year at the beginning of May.
In May. I'll have to find out the information and post that on the website, because I've got a convention listing on the Magic Word Podcast there. So that was Quentin Reynolds. This is Scotty out. So, before the show begins, because it's now about, we've got about 10 minutes before it begins for the first show, but I'm speaking with a longtime good friend, Gary Ward, and he and I have traveled to conventions and hung out, and he's part of the backstage crew that makes this happen.
Right. Yeah, we work here in the backstage and take care of all the stuff going out on the stage. And
try to make everybody look and sound good.
Well, yeah, I guess you'd
say. As best you can.
As best we can.
But unfortunately, we just lost somebody then, tragically.
Yes, last night, one of the backstage crew members, Tom Black, passed away here at 4F. It's a very sad time for the whole crew. Tom has been with us for several years, good friend. And, you know, right now, we don't know anything other than, you know, his wife needs your thoughts and prayers. And we're going to have hold a broken wand ceremony for him here at the 4F.
Yeah, that's great. No, that was it like after the show last night or about
what
time?
No, what happened during the show, Tom started feeling ill. And
during the evening show?
During the evening show.
The mayor was out there?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And he told us he was feeling ill and went up to his room, and Scott and I were the last ones to talk to him before he left. He just said he didn't feel well, and so he went up and laid down, and we thought. And come to find out, a couple hours later, his wife came back, and luckily she was here with him and found him. And they called the emergency services. And I have to say, the Genesee County Sheriff's Department were excellent in how they handled the situation. And the emergency team was here in just seconds, literally. And the hospital, he didn't make it to the hospital. They they transport him, I think, straight from here to Rochester. So,
wow. Sad time.
It is.
Yep. Well, I just thought maybe that the listeners would like to know a little bit more about them. And Tom, where did Tom live? I thought he was out in
the East. He's in Rhode Island.
Rhode Island, okay. He's East Coast.
Rhode Island. He's a professional escape artist.
Yeah.
He did a couple years ago, I think, or maybe last year, he did a
TED Talk
lecture.
With you. Yeah.
Yeah, he did a TED Talk with you, but he also did a lecture here on how to pick locks. Mm-hmm. Very knowledgeable in the locks. He has several Guinness records. Mm-hmm. And so every year he and his wife go to the Guinness Book of Records up in Canada. Is it? Mm-hmm. Well, it's in Calgary. But I forgot where it is up there, but it's not. It's in Canada. And they have an appearance there.
Yeah.
Because Tom does hold several records, and so, unfortunately, he won't be around longer to break his own records.
Yeah, that's too bad. Well, thank you very much. So for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Gary Ward. Scotty out. All right, we'll try this over. So we've just finished the first afternoon show, and we are now in between, got less than a half hour before we have the next one. So I'd like to have an opportunity to talk to some people who in between. In particular, we got someone who is a past guest of honor and a FISM winner, and someone you guys have seen perhaps at other conventions and his lecture and everything. Please welcome Boris Weil. Hi, Boris.
Hey, good to see you, Scott.
Always good to see you then, Boris. I apologize, my voice is starting to go over here. I think the allergies are just starting to get into my throat a little bit. Anyhow, I was talking briefly about, the KISS Act and then the butterflies. What is it you're working on? What's the next newest thing?
Oh, right now I am touring with my new lecture called Sensations, and it's doing pretty well. So, and we just released my Mark deck in Phoenix, which is also a big thing because, yes, apparently everybody is just, very happy with this new version, and I am very happy with this new version too. So, trying still to, sharing and creating or doing new things.
Are you preparing that though, like for another FISM act or something possibly? I mean, you're a FISM judge, but
yes. Well, it takes a long time. I mean, the first act took like almost 4 years. My second one was about 5 years. So yes, I have ideas. I have things in mind I would really like to develop in the future. So it just takes a lot of time to do it, as you know. So
right.
Yeah, and now with the lots of traveling and the lecture and the new products and everything, so I'm just trying to, take it easy a little bit. But it's there. It's in my mind. So.
You do a heck of a lot of traveling. I mean, around the world, obviously, and keep up with you. On Instagram and other places, and kind of see what you're doing. But how many months out of the year would you say you're over here in the U.S.? Seems like you're here quite frequently.
Oh, yeah. Last year I've been here about five times. This year should probably be around four times, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah, pretty much. So, yeah, there's lots of opportunities here, of course,
right,
to, see friends and do magic, and I love it. So,
Well, and also I just wanted to say sorry to hear about, Notre Dame, catching fire. That was a horrible thing.
It was, yeah. It's just arrived before I left for the U.S. here, and yes, but thank God. I mean, the firefighters in Paris did such a tremendous job to save it,
yeah.
And the plan now is that the Olympics would be in 2024 in Paris.
Oh, I forgot about that.
And so, yeah, so the president would like, to have Notre Dame, be all, ready for the tourists coming for the Olympics again in 5 years. So it's quite a big challenge, but hopefully it was. It was a very sad event, and I was very. I was shocked and surprised and touched by how the world reacted to this tragedy, because it was all over Facebook, all over
everywhere.
The news, everywhere. And I didn't think it would be, that much. I mean, such an international event, I would say.
It's an iconic landmark in the world.
Absolutely, yes. But, it was quite touching at the same time. And all my friends reached out just to say, hey, how is everything?
Yeah, because you live in downtown Paris.
Yeah, I'm close to Paris, so I'm not really in the heart of the city, okay, but I'm not far. So of course it's something that I often see, and it's part of the
landscape.
Landscape, exactly,
yeah.
Around. So yeah, but yeah. So
well, they said,
so
I guess they raised over $1 billion. So hopefully that the French can really get after it quickly.
Oh yes, I'm sure they will do it, because as you say, it's an iconic monument, and of course it has to be there.
Now, how many times have you been here at the 4F convention?
Yeah, so I was just thinking today that it is my 23rd year.
Okay.
Yes, so I haven't missed a single one since 1997 when it was my first time, when Johnny Thompson was the guest of honor, and it was just a few months before FISM. So, and Obi just, you know, saw me at the Macmillan Convention in London. He said, hey, you should come to Thrive. So, and I perform here, my KSAC, before FISM. Mm-hmm. So it was not after FISM, it was before. So, which is even more so, I mean, touching because, you know, he just, you know. just
so what is your reason for coming back so regularly?
Well, I see Thrive now as, of course, for the magic, obviously, because it's fantastic. But I see this like as a family reunion now. It's just a way to see friends. And even if sometimes it's just people that we just see, you know, just once a year.
Right.
But, you know, it just, it sounds like that you, it feels like the, I just, you know, left them like a month before.
Right.
And it's just.
Yeah, you just kind of pick up like where you left off.
Oh, yes, exactly. And it's just so great because we just like, we know it's the same place. We know the place. We know the people. But every time we just like to hang out together. Love to see the magic shows, stuff, session. That's what it is all about.
One of my favorite memories, there are so many different memories, you know, that come from previous four after, but was you sitting on the floor of this very hotel when there was a bunch of women, there were a bunch of sorority girls and there in their nightgowns all night long, and you were just blowing them away with magic, you know, and they were just screaming. You remember that well, of course.
Oh, I remember that super well because that was like, I don't remember who was there, but like it was all these top famous magicians in the world, like kneeing on the floor. And I remember like a girl brought like a jumbo Mickey deck from Disneyland and say, oh, you can do magic with that. And everybody was just like, you could see like these top performers in the world, like almost fighting to catch that jumbo Mickey deck to perform like the craziest magic card trick you can imagine to those girls. And it was just, oh God, yes, it was a great memory.
It was. The amazing thing is that we always take up this hotel, and that was the first and only time I can ever remember that there was another event other than ours that was going on simultaneous.
Exactly, and it's the first and the last one because all the boys, I remember, were still in the ballroom by themselves, and they were upset because all the girls were with the magicians, and obviously they were complaining after, and since then the hotel said, no, we're going to never do anything again at the same time as folks at Spectres.
You can't compete with magicians. That's right. That should be something telling those guys that they should learn to be do some magic also.
Exactly. Maybe that should be like a good hook just to say, a good pitch to say, hey guys, you should need to learn magic now. This is the future for you.
That's right. Well, Boris, thanks very much. Always a good pleasure to see you every year here.
Always a pleasure, Scott.
And I'll see you in Scottsdale, I guess, at the IBM convention. Is that right?
No, unfortunately, because I will be in the U.S., but I will be at the castle this week.
Oh, that work. Okay, quite a castle.
So, but, you know, it's going to be, I'm pretty sure that, you know, even if you're at the IBM convention, you're going to be able to catch the show maybe after or before the castle. So, yeah, but I'll be around, as always.
All right, yeah, so people are traveling in and out, and a lot of times when they're coming to the country, they're not too far from Los Angeles, so they're going to be in Phoenix, and so they should go over and see it.
Exactly.
What's the date? Where are you going to be in there?
The castle, the week at the castle will be July 8th to 14th, which means that I'm going to celebrate Bastille Day in Hollywood for a French guy.
In the close-up room?
I do, yes, I'm doing the late close-up, yes.
Okay. Very good. So with the Magic Word Podcast, that was Boris Wilde. Scotty. All right, well, another person that I want to always have a chance to see whenever that we're anywhere within the vicinity is Carissa Hendricks. Hey, Carissa.
Hi.
First of all, congratulations on the nomination for the... is it the Stage Entertainer of the Year at the Magic Castle?
Yeah, Stage
the Academy
Entertainer.
Of okay, great.
Yeah. I was shocked. I'm still shocked.
I think you had talked about this on your podcast, and also, but just for my podcast, tell people about your reaction whenever you first heard about
it.
How you were notified.
Kayla and I were in Las Vegas working on a research project for our podcast.
Mm-hmm. Shazam, which is Shazam, S-H-E-Z-A, I highly recommend, by the way.
Yeah, we have so much cross-pollination. We talk about you on our podcast all the time. Everybody's
we're brothers and sisters here.
Exactly. And so I woke up in the morning. I've got like 40 messages on my phone. And I look and I went, Kayla, did I get nominated for Stage Magician of the Year? And she goes, yeah, I've already tweeted about it. And I just went...
But she didn't tell you.
She didn't tell me.
Okay,
she tweeted about it, but she didn't bother waking me up. And I just went back to bed because it was so overwhelming. I couldn't participate in the world anymore. I was just like, nope, I can't. I have too many feelings. It's too exciting. Because, I mean, I've only been working at the Magic Castle for over a year. Yeah, it was my third performance. I'm working there again, I think, in June, but that'll be four.
Yeah.
So it just seems... ridiculous, the whole thing, yeah.
But that character of Lucy Darling is just that, it's Darling. It's absolutely engaging, and you're... The way, I think one of the important things is how did you break that fourth wall and being able to entertain and listen to the audience whenever they say something, and you're talking with the audience. You know, a lot of times that's some of the most successful comics are that way then as well. And you're able to produce a lot of laughter, I think, you know, because of that ability, you know, to interact with the audience as if that they're sitting there with you and they know you, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's a skill I honed over tons of other projects and, you know, street performing and doing corporate. But really in the last 4 or 5 months, I think, doing these smaller theaters, like I just did the Nashville House of Cards, theaters like that really make you aware of your audience in a different way. And I didn't realize how complacent I got in big rooms. Because in a room of 200 people, you can pretty much guarantee you're going to get a laugh even for a mediocre joke. But in a room of like 40, 50, 60, 70, everything has to be super sharp. So, yeah, it's like, you know, I really thought I had that act polished up. But then in the last 4 months doing these other shows, I'm like, oh no, there was still a lot of, there's still a lot of way to go.
Well, do you feel like now that you're just kind of fine-tuning a few things? You think you're there?
Oh, no, absolutely not. I mean, partially because I've been working on lots of new material, but also, like, you know, you sort of, you convince yourself the act is polished, and then right. you bring it into a new space, and you realize, for that room, yeah, I figured out that room, but I don't know this room. I don't know, you know, my act is perfect for the lounge or the castle, but you bring it to Nashville, and it needed a little tweaking, and
right.
Now I'm doing more smaller theaters, and so I've just got to tweak it. It's going to be, you know, I've only been doing it less than 2 years. It's going to take another 5 or 6 to kind of round out the character.
Right. But once we get the Magic Island up and going, you know, in Houston, hopefully by Christmas, you know, this year, that we'll have you there so that way people from Texas will be able to see your acting.
Oh, that would
too.
Be great. Yeah. I had such a good time at TAOM this last year. That was an absolute blast.
You were a hit, and your lecture was fantastic, which I would recommend, by the way, for any organizers to consider you definitely for not only performing, but also you got two lectures on balloons and what is it?
One on bubbles and then one on magic.
Magic.
And then I do a cross one sometimes for clubs. I'll do like half bubbles and half.
Because you were on a lecture tour, you and John or James, who was it?
John Reed.
John Reed, yeah.
3 months in a red transit van going across America doing little clubs and stuff. And it was great. We got to meet so many people. And it's weird. I run into people who've seen my act all the time. Yeah. And it tends to be either at TAOM or at Abbott's. But for some reason, all the people that have seen my lecture, they cite the tour I did with John Reed. And it feels like we only maybe met 200 people.
Yeah.
But we couldn't have because I'm constantly running into them everywhere. So...
Now, is this your first, I was going to say I don't remember seeing it. I've come, this is like my 35th.
This is your 35th, Laura? Yeah. That's amazing. No, this is my first one. I was very excited.
You're going to do Lucy?
I'm going to do Lucy.
I love you.
Okay. Show.
Awesome. I'm not surprised.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm going to do the book and the chapter cup. I was going to do some of the new stuff, but I decided, like, maybe I'll just do the tried and true.
Yeah. That way you don't have to worry about any kind of nerves or anything, because I've seen people, I've even seen Roger Klaus mess up the $100 bill switch.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, and other pros like him who have had some issues. It's just, you know, I'm not going to try to shake you. You're going to do well.
I think I'll be okay. I'm doing stuff I've done forever. And also, Nikot's here, Roger Nikot's here, who designed the chop cup I use. So I was really excited to get to do it for him.
Oh, Nico.
Yeah.
I bought one of those. You know, I saw your routine.
So
of course, I love martinis, as you know. And so I've got a little martini glass as well that fits underneath it. So this way that I can have
that's
that as a...
Great.
Yeah.
Ooh, aren't you clever?
So I saw yours and I thought, I'm not going to do your act, but I just love the idea.
It's a great little prop. It's amazing. I mean, it finally makes sense, I think, within the context of like doing a bar show or doing all these things. And my character's a lush, so it was like an immediate hit. I remember buying it at Tannins like 4 years ago when I had the first spark of the idea of the character and just carrying it around with me, you know, trying to come up with the bits.
That's a good idea sometimes, you know, to try to be creative. This not just sleep on it, but also physically to carry a prop.
Oh, yeah. I tell people, I do it myself. If I have an idea, I build it first. And then I, you know, it's just build it. Just build it, because you might not know.
Right.
I'm in that position right now. I'm working on this Bob Neal thing, and I had the idea for like a couple of months, and finally I was like, I'm just going to build it and see what happens. And now that I have it, I just did a House of Cards for a week.
Yeah.
And I learned so much. And now I've, you know, the act really changed and evolved, and I would have never got there if it was just an idea in the back of my head. Sometimes you just need to buy the thing or build the thing and really have it and
good
physically
advice.
Touch it.
Yeah. Good advice. Well, listen, a lot of stuff here, getting ready to do the show. We just got a few minutes before we get seated for the next thing. Looking forward to seeing your show then later. relax, enjoy the day, enjoy the convention.
Thanks. I'm gonna do my best, and hopefully your throat gets better.
Thank you very much for the lozenge there too. So, since you've just been here for there's been less than 24 hours of shows and everything, but kind of engaging people, do you kind of feel that sense of family here quickly?
Oh yeah, it's okay. Amazing. A couple of things. There were more people here that I knew than I expected, mm-hmm. and also everyone really goes out of their way when they can tell you're a first timer to say hi and be really nice to you, and mm-hmm. Everybody's touching base. And what I'm noticing the most is I'll start talking to people, and then somebody who knows me will walk up to the group and be like, have you seen her act? they'll just check in and be like, you know who this is, right? Very flattering and very cool, and lots of podcast listeners are here, and just I could not be happier. It's
well, that is a cool
so
thing
awesome.
Because you're going to start to come back year after year, and before long you'll have 35 years.
Oh my goodness. Maybe let's just start with one.
One at a time. That's
one
right.
One at a time. We have to get one year at a time.
So tune into Shazam.com.
Shazampod.com.
Pod. Thank you. Forget that part. Yes. There's probably another Shazam.
Probably.
Anyhow, Shazampod.com with Kayla Drescher and Carissa Hendricks. I got one half right now. Hope you've enjoyed our conversation with Carissa. And if you did, go back and do a search on the podcast. And right now, go to the magicwordpodcast.com. And there you can search for Carissa Hendricks. And you can find where we had a more lengthy conversation for about an hour. It's one of my favorites, too.
Oh, me, honestly, yeah, one of my favorites. Whenever I send people information for, lectures, the link to that podcast episode is in there, because I'm like, hey, I was really smart on that for 10 seconds.
You had a lot of good stuff to say. So for the Magic Word Podcast, I was Carissa Hendricks. Scotty, yeah. All right, well, just before the show begins, we're going to take just a minute, because that you might recall one of the podcasts we did a while back with Hans Brueckerseifer. I'm doing that pretty well. Okay. And talking about he's got a movie that he's working on and producing, which is Looking for Erdenace. And darn if one of the guys who is one of the stars of the show is here. And if I pronounce you, it's Alfonso Rituerto. 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 Rituerto.
That's great. Yeah.
Okay, well, I've had a little bit of Spanish. You're from Spain, is that
yes,
right?
Yes, I'm from Spain,
okay,
yeah.
I saw your show. Was it yesterday you were doing
this?
I was going to say, I enjoyed that. That was
Thank you
clever.
Very much.
It was funny. So tell me about how they're doing as far as an update since I've talked to Hans. Yeah. If they got it all shot and he's just editing and then looking for more funding, or what's the status?
Well, no, they achieved the funding from Kickstarter. And of course, they need to film a little bit more.
There's more filming to do.
Yes. He wants to make a little some trips to meet other magicians. But they have already a lot of material. They are editing since already some months. And I've seen some pieces of this movie, and it's really great. Not because I'm in part of it, of course. Yeah. I really enjoyed also the parts where I am, because Hans is a great director. I think he has a very nice way of seeing things and making out of nothing great scenes. We have to go inside. Yeah. But it's the movie's going really well, and we're working hard. So,
well, are you a professional actor, or are you just a friend of Hans?
No, I'm a magician. I'm an expert in close-up, and then he wanted me to be there because I am a person who learned from books. And he thought, that would be interesting for him. And of course, I was his company in Spain, so I introduced him to all the Spanish people who.
And what part do you play?
I'm in several parts, because I'm like an interview partner of his.
Okay. Yeah, as I recall, it's like he has different vignettes. I mean, it's like this could be who Erdenace is, and then they kind of film that, and this could be who he is, and then they go have a different thing. So you have different parts.
Yes, I have different parts. The thing is, we talk 7 hours maybe.
Yeah.
And he will be feeding parts of our chat together in several parts of the movie. So from 7 hours, I don't know how much in the end will end up being there. But I kind of introduce the. These things, this search for Erdenace in some moments, and I help with the story.
So. Has he told you about when he might be releasing?
Yes.
What's an update?
It should be end of this year, because it's really important for several
film festivals and that kind of thing.
Yeah, he has to apply. He already applied, and it has to be ready.
Gotcha.
before the end of this year. I hope, really, because I loved it.
And when it's released, will that go into wide release? I'm sure they haven't got a distribution company yet, have they? Or
I cannot speak about that. I don't really know about that those kind of things. Okay. I'm sorry.
I mean, as opposed to going into DVD release immediately.
Yes,
you know?
Yes, okay. Yes. DVD and also in online platforms and then in different
maybe
versions.
Netflix or something.
That would be great. That would be great. I know there was some talks. He was talking to these people, but I don't know really.
Back to the 4F, by the way. How many of these have you attended?
It's my first time.
I was going to say, I thought perhaps you're a first timer, so yes. Welcome. I'm glad you're here. Hope you are feeling the warmth and everything that everybody.
I am. Good. It is amazing.
You're going to try to come back every year?
Yes.
Good for you. I look forward to seeing you.
Yeah, thank you.
Alfonso, thank you very much. So, for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Alfonso. Close enough. Scotty out.